The following podcast contains swearing, complimentary swearing, thrown in for free. A little bit extra, just to say thank you.
Right, this time it's going to be good. Doesn't fill you with much confidence, does it? Okay.
Here we go.
All right, okay.
Not
Algebra. Oh,
now.
No.
You do two, I'll do one. You do two.
Okay. All right, I didn't quite get that, but we'll do it anyway. I think that sometimes people forget the interesting things that they've done in their lives, but this is an attempt for me to chart those very things in a blog.
You might say that this is boring, but it might not be for some of you.
But the people that it's not for, quite frankly, you are idiots. Why don't you go and watch something rubbish on YouTube? What kind of things are rubbish on YouTube? Give me an example.
Well,
the stuff that you watch is rubbish. What do you watch?
I watch all of the greatest people on earth.
She watches boring people talking about their lives, but they're not as interesting as me. For instance, have they ever... I can't even think of something interesting that I've done. I think I've just completely proven Lucy's point. Goodbye!
Bye! That actually didn't go... bad.
No. Lucy's also the director here, yes. As you can hear.
Yes.
David's Daily Digital Dollop. Dollop 2. When the landlord said free punches, I assumed he meant drinks. After our Christmas gig in Otley, I went to the pub with a few friends, including the organiser of the gig and the other two young'uns. There was a bit of an incident the last time we went to the pub with this particular person, who, from now on, shall be referred to as Rob. For brevity's sake, and also because that happens to be Rob's name. So that seems to make quite a lot of sense. If you're confused at this point, then perhaps this blog really isn't for you. Last time you went to the pub with Rob was in April earlier this year, just after our first gig on the spring tour. Rob enthusiastically declared that this particular pub was really good, and that the landlord was a bit of a character. As soon as we crossed the threshold, we were effusively greeted by said character, a big, burly, brash bloke with a bellowing, broad, Scottish voice. Rob! He roared, leaping to his feet as quickly as a heavily inebriated, heavily built landlord could ever be expected to leap. Let's just say that I think this particular landlord cared so much about the quality of his beer that he insisted on sampling each one in turn just to be sure, and pint-sized samples just to be especially certain, before repeating the whole cycle several times throughout the day, because in this game it pays to be constantly vigilant. The landlord grabbed Rob, enveloping him in his considerable mass. "How are you, me old fucker?" he shouted. Perhaps this was his little play on words, a slight Scottish modification of the more well-known Cockney, me old mucker, unless the landlord had just let slip some personal information about his and Rob's relationship. But it seemed too much of an obtrusive question to pose at this moment, given that Rob had enough to deal with right now, as the landlord was thumping him hard on the back. Rob maintains that this is just his way of showing affection, and perhaps this was yet another telling indication of the type of relationship that he and Rob enjoyed. We'd just come to the pub after a gig for a social drink with some friends, and now we were witnessing a potential homoerotic sadomasochist display. But Rob maintains that the me old fucker line and the pummeling is merely what goes for a friendly welcome in this landlord's world. Fair enough, I suppose. Who am I to argue? Well, I'd be an idiot to start an argument with this particular man, given that he appears to show affection to his friends by thumping. Goodness knows what he'd do to people he took a disliking to. "Where have you been the last few months, you little cunt?" the landlord barked. "Anyway, you're very welcome. You're all very welcome." Ah, so we're welcome, I thought. I felt that this had been a little bit unclear up until this point, what with the thumping and the verbal insults. At first, I wasn't sure whether Rob was coming under a hostile attack, but it turns out that the landlord seemed to follow the same philosophy of certain dog owners, whereby the dog can jump up at you, claw you in the eyes, and bark menacingly at you, while the owners of the dog gleefully inform you that, oh, he's just being affectionate. I was a little concerned that if we were all very welcome, then we too might soon fall victim to his affections. I decided that now might be a good time to escape to the toilet. so I left the others to the mercy of our intriguing host. But no sooner had I turned to walk off, I was accosted by a lady about my age who enthusiastically intoned how much she'd enjoyed the gig and congratulated me on the recent Folk Award win. How easily distracted. I'd completely forgotten about my intention to escape from the potentially dangerous landlord. My instinctive urge to flee the possible danger had instantly been replaced by my instinctive response towards a bit of flattery from a female. Damn, she was probably working for him. She'd spotted my attempts to make a break and had sought to thwart my efforts, and she had succeeded. Granted, she'd known about the gig and about the Folk Award, so that makes this theory quite unlikely. But when you're on the run from a potentially psychopathic landlord, you can't afford to be negligent. If you take one bit of advice away from this blog, that should be it, my friends. When you're on the run from a potentially psychopathic landlord, you can't afford to be negligent. Maybe I'll get some t-shirts printed with that on, just to make sure it really resonates with you. It was too late to correct my course, for the landlord had heard the girl's comments and promptly turned to address me. "You've won a Folk Award," he bellowed, and in his voice it sounded more like a threat, as if he thought having the winner of some poncy award in his pub was highly egregious to him. He drew his mask towards me, and I couldn't do anything to stop him. He was upon me. "Fuck me, you fucking clever cunt," he boomed, and pulled me into a bear hug. Then the thumping began. There was an attractive girl stood just a couple of metres away, in one of the parallel universes that apparently have to exist in order to support most of the currently accepted quantum physical theories about the nature of life. Another version of me was being embraced by that enthusiastic girl, the jammy bastard. Perhaps that David Eagle has written a blog about the amazing night of passion that he had with a girl, then philosophised about the not-so-lucky version of himself in an alternate universe who was being embraced, thumped and sworn at by a boozy landlord just metres away from him and the girl. Well, I want that David Eagle to know that if I ever find myself tumbling down a wormhole and meeting him, then I'll come for him and wipe that self-satisfied smile off his stupid face. Anyway, my blog post is much more interesting than his. Let's be honest, would you rather read about me being pummeled and sworn at by a garish landlord or hear about me having sex? If you answered positively to the second option, then this podcast probably isn't really tailored to you. But I promise you that the next time I have sex, I may be being tragically optimistic here, I will tell you all about it in infinitesimal detail. Any volunteers? You get to be written about in a blog, which I'm sure must be a turn-on for most women. Meanwhile, back in this universe, I am still being thumped by the landlord. Of course, I'm just letting this happen, even though he's thumping me hard and it is hurting a bit. For some reason, I hold the perplexing notion that it would be impolite to say anything. I, like many of us, am far too self-conscious and socially awkward to challenge this kind of behaviour. A man is repeatedly hitting me, yet it is me who feels as if I would be crossing some kind of line if I objected to this. I will just continue to stand here and be thumped on the back until he either gets bored or I pass out, although this assumes that me passing out would be enough of a prompt for him to stop. I might be lying in a crumpled heap on the floor, yet this man would still be resolutely thumping me. And as long as he does it with a smile on his face, then my friends will be too polite and socially awkward to say anything. I considered thumping him back. Perhaps this would cause him to realise that being repeatedly thumped in the back wasn't particularly pleasant. But knowing my luck, he'd enjoy it and see it as an indication of my consent and an endorsement of this activity. And encouraged by my participation, might start thumping me harder. So I just stood there and let the man thump me and call me a clever cunt, while all the evidence to support that statement was being utterly refuted, given that I was seemingly willingly being assaulted. I think the girl must have walked off at this point. It is very unlikely anyway that anything would have happened, but there might have been a bit of interest, but she would have no doubt been perturbed by the fact that I had a broad smile on my face, seemingly enjoying myself as a man was beating me, shouting what might have appeared to be a request for me to engage in sexual exploits with him. "Fuck me," he shouted, and to be honest, I am so terribly British and polite that, if that's what he really wanted, I'd probably oblige. Just out of politeness, you understand. I may find it embarrassingly difficult to procure the requisite erection for the task, but at least my upper lip would be stiff. How very quintessentially British, having sexual intercourse with a man, just out of mere politeness. Then I had a master plan. I explained to the landlord that I was only one of the members of the group that had won the Folk Award. The other Folk Award winners were standing right by him. I'd thrown the affectionate dog a bone, and he immediately went for it. I was unhanded, and I slumped away to the toilet, and I heard him grab one of the other two, and then the thumping and the swearing routine was re-established. I felt a little bit guilty, but I'm sure that the other two would have done the same if they were me. In fact, I know they would, because as I entered the toilet, I could hear Sean pointing out Michael. Oh well, I might have failed to bag the girl, but at least I shook off the landlord. Which, admittedly, does sound like quite a dodgy sentence. But you know what I mean. After a couple of minutes, I went to the toilet door to listen to see whether it was safe to re-enter. It turned out that it probably was safe, given that the landlord had turned his attentions to someone else and was loudly engaged in a passionate, racist rant. We decided that this was an opportune time to leave. We left the pub, completely unnoticed by the landlord, while the sound of the landlord's voluble, bigoted, drunken diatribe reverberated in our ears. Well, I've done it again. I've written nearly 2,000 words, and I haven't begun to tell you the story that I was originally intending to tell. Given that I'm attempting to do this blog lark on a daily basis, I think that it might be prudent to stop here and tell you that story tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening.